You are greater than that. You are greater than that. Listen to where it is really at. Your blood is polluting our soil. Your lust need not keep your blood at boil. Your blood is polluting our soil. Your lust need not keep your blood at boil. Call them 8 trains and rolling 60s. Yeah, call them all the O's. Call them 9 O's. Call them rolling 100s. Yeah, call them 8 train movers and 7 4 movers and 5 9 movers and 5 2 movers. Call them 11 2s moving. Call them rolling 30 Harlem cramps. Call them East Coast. Call them 6 9 6 2s East Coast. Call them Watch Scripture, two called Grave Street. Yeah, called Blood, two called Mountain Hunters and Swamp. Called BMGs, Denver Lands, and Rolling 20s. We need you. Called all NHBs and NHCs. We want you. We love you. Going to jail does not prove your bravery. Jail is just 21st century slavery.
That's all it is. Exactly. That's all it is.
Going to jail does not prove your bravery. Be what's for centuries been trapped inside of you. Be governor, captain, neighborhood star. But you must learn to love peace and hate war.
That's right. That's right.
There's God inside of you. He's calling you to, calling all Crips, calling all Bloods, calling all Crips. We need you, we want you, we love you. Calling all Crips.
Okay, that's writer, poet, activist Donald Bekir trying to get these gangs to come together as one. Welcome to the Coon Rhyme Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with my co-host Earlene Anthony coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. You can listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in SkidRow.LA and hit Coon Rhyme Report. Also watch us live by hitting live video. Now this week on the Coon Rhyme Report, we will talk about the elements of educational theater with my in-studio guest, Anthony Taylor, and also some of the other members of the Theater Academy at LACC, Unique Jenkins, Henry Ramirez, and Billy Jordan. But first, we have on the line Vanessa Carlisle and Craig Tunides from the Black Riders Liberation Party. And they have an important event coming up this Saturday, December the 7th, 2013, at the Peace Center in Culver City. Welcome to the Coon Rhyme Report. Who am I? Craig? Vanessa?
Actually, it's just me, Craig, right now. Vanessa couldn't join us, and I wanted to say real quick that I'm representing the Intercommunal Solidarity Committee, which is a formation initiated by the Black Riders of the Liberation Party, but I'm not actually a Black Rider.
Oh, okay, okay. But we can talk about, we can talk a little about that, right? Can Craig,
no doubt.
Yeah, thank you for being on the Coon Rhyme Report.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Can you tell our listening audience about the event coming up this weekend?
Yeah, we've got a really important event on Saturday, December 7th, starting at 7 p.m. at the Westside Peace Center, which is out in Culver City. And it's called Prison Bars Can't Stop the Flow, an evening of spoken word, art, and performance. And we're trying to raise money for Turning the Tide, which is has been a unique grassroots medium for voices of prisoners and liberation movements for 25 years now.
Mm-hmm. This is a paper founded by Michael Novak?
Exactly. And Michael's been working hard in the struggle for 25 years.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the event, some of the entertainers, some of the spoken word artists that would be there.
Absolutely. We've got Jerry Quickly, who hosted a show on KPFK a while back, Matt Cedillo, those are both slam poets. We're going to have Spoken Word by Lindsay Cristofani, and rapper Double Barrel is also going to be performing. We also have presentations by Mary Sutton and Carol Wells from the Center for the Study of Political Graphics. General Taco of the Black Riders Liberation Party will give a short presentation, and Michael Novick himself, the editor and founder of Turning the Tide.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us a little about Turning the Tide? Exactly what kind of newspaper is it? Tell us a little about the history of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're actually coming to the end of the 25th year anniversary of Turning the Tide. It's a journal of anti-racist action and research, and has been a weapon of education and solidarity through prison walls and a voice of uncompromising anti-racism, anti-sexism, anti-fascism, anti-colonialism, anti-imperialism, and a commitment to human liberation. And about 2,000 copies of Turning the Tide are mailed quarterly to our comrades inside who are incarcerated. And in the wake of this summer's hunger strike and the ongoing hunger strikes, especially in California prisons, I feel it's more important now than ever to be sharing the liberation struggles inside and outside and acting as a medium for prisoners themselves to communicate with each other.
Okay. Now you guys also work out of the Chuco Justice Center?
We do on occasion.
Tell us a little about that spot?
This summer we had, the Black Riders had, the George Jackson Freedom School at, which took place at Chuco's Justice Center, where it basically modeled after the, Black Panther Party, the Breakfast for the Kids program. That program lasted this summer and was wildly popular and successful and well attended, and it was a great chance to outreach to the youth.
Mm-hmm. Couple more questions. Hey, Craig, how can we create more community? First question is, how can we get more young people involved in rebuilding our communities?
You know, I think the George Jackson Freedom School is a great example of how to do that. It is spending time with the youth themselves and seeing what they see, because their perspective is important to the struggle. They know. Mm-hmm. They know the struggle, and they see it around them. And as much as we try to tiptoe around and treat them with kid gloves, as it were, they know what's up. Reaching them early and letting them know that their opinions are important and that their participation is crucial to the struggle, I think is a way to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Now I know this fundraiser is also for the newspaper, to keep the newspaper going. Why do you think Turning the Tide is such an important newspaper?
Well, like I said, in the wake of we send roughly 2,000 copies inside every quarter, and that's postage and everything still going up every day, as I'm sure you know.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of getting it inside and getting facilitating communication between revolutionary minds on the inside is an invaluable service, I think, and mm-hmm. that's what I'm most proud of to participate in, as well as we hand distribute it freely at events all over Southern California. It's not a paper that we ask for money or anything for. We just want, you know, the word getting out and the struggle, you know, continuing until mm-hmm. we win.
How did you get involved with the organization?
You know, I met Michael Novick during Occupy LA myself, and found a connection to the Black Riders through that and the good work that they've been doing since the 90s. And Michael Novick has been doing his whole life, you know, and I mean, they've been doing their whole lives as well. And I was really inspired by that and wanted to help any way I could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, Craig, any closing comments? And then once you give us the contact information, you know, once again, give us the info. We will be announcing the event in the community calendar. But any closing comments, and then give us the information again, the basic information.
Great, good. Yeah, the event Prison Bars Can't Stop the Flow, an evening of spoken word, art, and performance to raise funds for Turning the Tide, is going to be December 7th. The doors open at 7 p.m. at the Westside Peace Center That's 3916 South Sepulveda Boulevard in Culver City. Tickets right now are online are $20. At the door, they'll be $25. You can get tickets at prisonbarscantstoptheflow.wordpress.com. We're going to have some great performances and more guests are being added to the lineup as we speak. So it's going to be a great night. I hope to see everybody there.
Okay, looking forward to it. One more thing. How do I pronounce your last name?
It's Tonis.
Tonis. Okay. Yes, all right, then. Thank you, Craig. Craig Tonis. Hey. Okay. Get on out to that event, 25-year anniversary of Turning the Tide. Thank you, Craig.
You very much, thank you.
Okay. That's a great event coming up this weekend. Michael Novak and the Black Riders. The new, almost like the new Black Panthers Party. I'm anxious to get them into the studio so we can sit down and talk about some of that history. Now, I'm delighted to have with us in the studio some members from the LACC Theater Academy. Unique Jenkins, Henry Ramirez, Billy Jordan, and Anthony Taylor. Welcome to the Coon Round Report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Thank you.
Hi.
Now, first, let's start over here with Unique and go around. Can you tell our listening audience a little about your background?
I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I currently am a second semester actress at LACC Theater Academy, and I also draw abstract art and tap dance and skate. But I am currently selling my art pieces. You can currently look it up on facebook.com/uniqueanartist. Mm-hmm. You can check it out.
How did you get off into acting?
I've always wanted to act since I was in high school. So after I graduated, I really got serious. Mm-hmm. And I started to do auditions and stuff like that. I lived in San Francisco for 2 years, so I've done auditions there. And I've done a play there at the African American Shakespeare Company.
Mm-hmm.
I tap danced there and did a couple of little lines.
One of Shakespeare's plays?
Yeah, The Twelfth Night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did New Orleans monologues there too. That mm-hmm. was Rosalind C. Bell's new play about Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath and mm-hmm. the stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. We're going to come back around to you in a minute. Anthony, tell us a little about your background and then how did you get off into acting?
Thank you, Melvin. Well, born and raised in Norfolk, Virginia. Hey, Virginia out there. I arrived in L.A. in 1991, so I've been here quite a few years. I did go back home for a while, but I've been here, I guess, 13 years now. And I came here actually to meet my biological family. I was adopted. And I just loved Los Angeles, and I've always wanted to be an actor since I was a child, since the first grade, when I first stepped on stage. So it was exciting for me, and I've had a lot of experiences since I've been here. I live on Skid Row. I'm a resident of Skid Row, and I participate in some of the theater groups. Also, Melvin, mm-hmm. your group, Drama Stage Cumran. Los Angeles Poverty Department. I do spoken word also, and I sing. I fancy myself a singer also. And I'm in the second semester at the Los Angeles City College Theater Academy, and I'm having a great time, the time of my life. And I happen to be the oldest student in my class.
Next to me.
Okay, let's move over to Henry. Tell us a little about your background. How did you get off into acting?
I was born and raised in Los Angeles, lived here all my life, and being around actors and growing up, knowing people, it's really, it sort of just made me feel, like this is something I can do, something I should do. And for some time, I just kept struggling with it. I didn't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could fit in. And I did take a first semester at the Theater Academy, and it went great. It was phenomenal. I just felt like I couldn't keep going, and I had to drop out for a year. And, I had to refine myself, rekindle myself. And it wasn't until early in spring that I went to an audition for a feature film. And I booked a part, and, you know, I felt, you know, so great about it. I was like, oh, you know, I have to go back to Academy. This is for me. This is what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just been phenomenal from then on.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a little while. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move over to Billy. Can you tell us a little about your background and how did you get off into acting?
Well, my background is in public relations and in journalism. Actually, I have a bachelor's degree from Northridge, CSUN, mm-hmm. in journalism with emphasis in public relations. I worked for some time in journalism, and I also worked as a publicist, entertainment publicist. I fell ill for a couple of years, and after staying home for a while, I decided that I would make myself healthy again, or decide. And I was going to support my oldest daughter, who was going to take classes at City College, music classes. And I thought, I've always been interested in the theater, so I'll crash a class. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing is really a fluke for me. I got to class that day. And I was in the hallway, and I was looking for the classroom, and I ran into the instructor, Leslie Ferrer. And where is the classroom? And he says, this is it, but this is an Academy-only class, but you're welcome to stay if you're interested. And I thought, well, you know, he seemed pretty interested. I'm already here. Why don't I come on in? Mm-hmm. And so I go in and I listen to the instructor, and he's really animated. You know, he's a theater major. He's been in the theater and he starts to talk about the theater, and he says that there were going to be auditions in Wednesday, that it was a Monday, and there would be auditions, the final auditions for that semester on a Wednesday, and that I would need to learn two monologues. And I had 48 hours to do it. And so I got the monologues down, and I auditioned, and I got in. And my life has been crazy ever since. My life has completely changed ever since. And now I am a Theater Academy student.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now tell us exactly what is the LACC Theater Academy? Exactly what is it?
Well, it's a full-time professional training conservatory for actors, technicians, and costumers. That's exactly what it is.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It deals with actors, technicians, backstage, like stage manager, lighting, sound.
Costumes also. Costume.
Yeah. And Naila teaches one of the costume class?
Yes, she does. She knows Naila.
Yeah. I holler out to Naila.
She's a pleasant woman. Yes. We love her.
Yes, we do.
Now, what is the process for admission to get into the Theater Academy? How do you get into it?
Well, my process, it happened like this. I went there actually to take maybe a class or two and find out more about acting. I used to go to a lot of workshops free workshops. And I couldn't afford the other workshops. They cost $300 or $400 for 2 or 3 days. And I thought, well, I can use one of the resources at the college where I can receive financial aid. And I happened to stumble upon the Theater Academy. And you have to have two contrasted monologues, a comedic and dramatic. And you have to actually apply. You have to apply online. You have a form to fill out. And at first I thought that you would have to be a professional. I thought they wanted professionals because they asked these questions about, are you on a union? Do you have an agent? Do you have a manager? So I was kind of intimidated about it at first, right? But I said, what the heck? You know, this is what school's for, so I want to go learn, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And when I arrived, I'll tell you the honest truth, I didn't think for 1 minute about the age difference, right? When I arrived there, I saw that everyone was half my age, and I was intimidated by that, right? Also, right? I'm saying, but I always was the type to want to fit in. So I went and did my two monologues, and you have an interview immediately after you perform your monologues. And from there, you'll find out later on that day, and that's what happened for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm in the cabin.
Look, a few months ago we had veteran screen, stage, and TV actor David McKnight in the studio, and we talked to him about some of the importance of acting and the business of acting. Here's veteran actor David McKnight talking about the business of acting.
Okay. I think your question is, what is my opinion that upstart actors, struggling actors, so to speak, newcoming actors, what can they do to gain more employment in Hollywood? Is that what your question is?
Exactly.
Okay. I would say that to develop their professionalism, you know, study as much as you can. Understand also that it's a business, and that's one of the most difficult sides of it is the business side of it. A lot of people have talent. A lot of people have talent and the ability to perform, the ability to do the job. But one of the things that they may fall short on is the business aspect of it, because it is a business. And there's so many things that you have to do on the business side in order to gain employment. So you have to seek out and understand what the business side is. You know, become familiar with your union, Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, which has just joined SAG-AFTRA now, you know, and also Actors Equity Association. Find out about these unions and how they, you know, protect you and so forth. Find out about casting directors and agents and stuff like that. Find out what it is that they do, how you have to work with them and how you have to be professional with them and so forth in order to sustain and maintain employment in the industry. That business side is very important once you get your talent straight.
Okay, Jamal. Okay, let's open it up for a discussion, what he's talking about there, because all of you, I know you want to go professionally out there. Any comments on what he said?
I think he's right about the SAG and the union and knowing more information, because if you're just doing it and you know, say, some people are like, oh, yeah, I just doing it because I love it. But also you do want to make money and have a living on it. You want to know more information about it and stuff and look up and research and talk to other people around you. Maybe go to like little mingles and promote yourself, because mm-hmm. it's not all about you. Nobody's going to know who you are until you get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the business side is a big deal. Before I attended the theater academy, I actually for 3 years I went wrong with it. I just went out there and just tried my best, and I found out that networking and understanding, and I don't understand everything right now, but I knew from networking with people that knows the business side of it, mm-hmm. they're the most productive people, because I mean, this Los Angeles, the City of Angels, is like a dime a dozen for it's a whole lot of talent here. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a plus, a big plus, to know the business side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Speaking on business, you have to reinvent yourself as an actor. You know, whether it's a year, 2 years. Like me, I can tell you one thing about me. I used to have extremely long hair about a year ago. So I was a completely different person, you know, and it took a long time to realize, you know, you have to make changes to your own self, reinvent yourself, you know, adapt to, you know, what the young generation wants. And, you know, you have to do it, or else, you know, you get left behind. You just mm-hmm. have to continue reinventing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of young people come to Hollywood and they have these wild dreams about being an actress or an actor or whatever, musician, and they don't have a clue. And so they are, you know, bumping into heads, or they don't, you know, they get manipulated by people. They spend a lot of time, you know, they waste money even. They spend a lot of time mm-hmm. not getting anywhere. And so the Los Angeles City College, the Theater Academy, is actually a wonderful way for somebody who doesn't know anything about theater, if you're interested in theater and also acting, to get educated. And you know, us, we're, the four of us, we're our first year students. And so at this point, we're just learning technique. We're learning technique, and we're basically learning how to, it's almost like etiquette school. We're learning how to be ourselves. And so later on, towards the second and the third year, we'll get more of the business acumen. But yeah, I'm excited that for me, somebody who isn't, you know, I didn't have any idea that I would want to be an actress or I want to be on the artist side of entertainment. I had always been in, you know, behind the scenes. But for somebody somebody like me, this is, and young people, this is a wonderful program if you're interested. And oh, I wanted to say, not just business, the Theater Academy, earlier I said that it was like etiquette school. You know, it's it is a lot like self-development. And so you get a lot. Everything that you need to, when you go into a casting director, you know, you don't know how to be, you're nervous, you get enough time on the theater or performing that you're no longer nervous. The theater, the stage becomes your home. You learn mm-hmm. how to hold your hand still, you know, you learn how not to fidget, mm-hmm. you learn how to speak. I am, should I say my age? I'm this year's old and I am just learning to say my name. Mm. I mean, really, so you learn a lot. Education is important in this business, so you get where you want to go more quickly.
Mm-hmm. They also teach us how to shake the casting director's hand and how to look at them face to face, because like at the end, like they tell us, like, and once you walk in, they'll know if they want you or not, if they want you for a callback or not. It's because of the how you come in the entrance, how you open that door. They're already thinking.
How do you shake their hand?
Well, the certain way you do it. It's a
hopefully
secret.
Your hands aren't sweating.
You have
sweating.
To go to the Theater Academy to know that.
Well, I'm learning to be a better human myself. That's what
yeah.
they're doing. They
yeah.
teach me. We have wonderful professors in, mm-hmm. in the theater.
Wonderful. They're amazing.
Look, let's play another clip from David McKnight. Let's talk, because, you know, actors have to... I'm always interested in the process that actors have for learning lines. Let's see what David McKnight say about that. Something else, David. What is your process for learning lines?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. That's a good question. You know, I go to the bottom line and say by rote, you know, and that is by doing the best that you can by any way, any means necessary.
Repetition.
Well, absolutely, by rote. But also, what it depends on is the individual. Some actors, individuals, have photographic memories. Some actors, individuals, don't have. They have a semi-photographic memory. Some actors, individuals, and they have talent, but they don't have good memory skills. So depending upon what your level is, depends upon what you're going to have to do in order to learn those lines. Now, if you have a photographic memory, they come to you as a snap. But if you recognize the fact, well, I'm a slow learner, it takes me a while, then that means you got a woodshed. You got to start early and dig deep. You know what I mean? And you do it by every means necessary. You could, you know, say them over and over and over and over and over, day and night, morning, noon and night. You can write them down, write it in pencil over and over and over. Because when you take a pencil and write something down, it does enhance your memory a little bit more than just speaking it out.
Mm-hmm.
With a pencil in your hand, you just write those lines out and you try to do it from memory. First, you can do it by just looking at the script and then writing it out verbatim as you're reading it from the script. And there's something about that hand, the pencil in your hand, mind, pencil contact and writing will dig it a little bit deeper into your memory. You do that, then you can put it on tape. You put it on tape and you can listen to it over and over and over. Then, like a lot of my actor friends and myself, what we do, we go to the park. We go out by the ocean or something. We get out there and speak out those lines. You know what I'm talking about. Speak those lines over and over and over. You whisper those lines. You sing those lines. You do everything you can. When I was starting out as an actor, one of the things that I enjoyed doing, what I would try to find every aspect of how I could perform my lines. I sing my lines, I laugh my lines, I get angry with all my lines, everything. I'm angry at all through every line in it. I laugh at every line, I sing every line, you know, I clown every line. I do everything because, let me share this with you, and I do coach actors. One of the things that we do as actors, our bodies are our instrument. Every aspect of our body is our instrument. We don't play, you know, if you're a piano player, your piano is your instrument. Mm-hmm. If you're a horn player, horn is your instrument. But see, our bodies are our instrument. So that means it's our ears, our eyes, our voice, you know, our energy, everything, you know, our mannerisms, movements, and everything else. So we have to train that instrument, and we have to work with that instrument. Mm-hmm. And so you take that instrument and put it in any all kinds of technique and environments that you can in order to be able to use it when the time is necessary. Mm-hmm. But getting back to remembering those lines, you just do it over and over and over and over and over until you got it.
Okay, that's David talking about learning lines. Let's start over here with Unique. What's your process for learning lines? What's your approach?
Well, I would read the scene. For me, it's kind of weird. I would read the scene and then read the play and then read the scene and then read the play. And then I will write it down like what he said. And for some reason, it will stick in my head. And then I start talking to the wall, talking to my cat in certain like ways, like, you know, laughing mad, extra happy, or just whispering it or saying it in my head. It's really weird. I have a photographic memory, so for me, it's kind of fast. Right. So when I see the scene, if I see it, and then the next day, I might be kind of halfway off book, but I know I still have work to do, but it's somewhere in my head. Mm-hmm. But I'll write out the whole scene.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Anthony? What's your process?
Well, let me say this, first of all. In school, we are doing basically scenes, five-minute scenes. But I've been in productions of full-length plays, right? And what I usually do is we have if I receive the script beforehand, I read the whole play myself, you understand? And I might highlight my character if I'm in it. And that's how I go about it right there. And then I just repetitions, like he said, right? But we're being taught certain different other things in the academy, right? And on a smaller scale to make scenes of 5-minute scenes, right? And it's vast, right? It's all kind of instructions, right? I'm not going to mention right now, but it's basically reading and understanding who's the character that you're playing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of process that you can go through. But basically what he was saying is the repetitions. That's what I do. I go by repetitions. And then also the reading. And then, of course, the rehearsal process with the other actors also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Repetition, repetition, repetition. For me, it's, you know, just repetition. And what I found that helps a lot is writing it out. Just write it out. And one thing that I liked what he said, go to a park. Really, just go to a park, speak the lines. You know, if you're working with another person, if it's, you know, a two-person scene or more, you know, just do the scene at a park. You know, it's great. The mm-hmm. environment, everything, it sticks together.
Right.
Billy?
Yeah, oh, well, for me, yeah, some of those things that we are learning in the academy, we actually have a voice class. That's some of the, you know, I was saying they are teaching us how to be. Acting is very physical. It's we have movement classes, we have voice classes, we have and we are taught, we are I'll get to it, but we are treated like seriously junior high school students. There's about maybe there's 20 of us all in the class together, and we go to every class together. We have to rehearse together. We're together all day long. But in our voice class, wonderful instructor Jennifer has taught us, one thing she's teaching us as far as lines is concerned and getting the lines learned is to something she calls opening up the text. And that's basically drawing parallels to the story or to the text to your life. So, and what that's similar to is seeing yourself in the story. And so we have sessions where she's drilling us. She has us come up with a story or stories to parallel that story. And she has us sit there and think of the environment. Like, what is happening? She asks us questions like, what is happening? Is it cold? Where is he standing? Where are you sitting? And you, in that process, you are trying to remember that stimuli. And it causes you to squint. It causes you to, you're thinking. And so you're no longer acting. You are.
Feeling.
Right. You're becoming. It's almost like you're becoming. It's almost like you're becoming the character. And so, the opening up of the text, somehow it, you know, you have some emotional attachment to it. And it helps you remember your lines based on the feeling. So you get like a physical memory of your, it, somehow it works, it helps you to memorize the text. But for me, and I do that, I do a little of that, but before we got to, you know, they give us this teaching in increments. Before we got to that, I, unlike Unique over there, who's a baby. Mm-hmm. Unique is very young. How old are you, Unique? I think you're like 21. She has that photographic memory. I do not. I mean, there are moments when I think I do, because I look at it and I'll go, oh, I got this. This is only, we're going back. I got this. But then when I go to say it, I don't have it. And so I do a lot of that over. I read it over and over again. And then the other thing I do is, and we were taught this at some point, is I start reading. I read the whole thing, but then I'll read a section, a small section of it, and I'll read that over and over again until I get it. And I don't move on to the next part of the text until I have gotten that. And when I get the first part, I go to the second part, and then I read the first and the second, and I don't go to the third part until I have learned the first and the second part. And I go through that process.
Let me say this, because I think the interesting thing you're talking about, that process they call is the concept of emotional memory, you know, that a lot of actors use by bringing up incidents from their past. And then also I would like to mention the famous actor, I think I was talking with Earlene, we was talking about this, Ben Kingsley, and his approach. And his approach, great actor, it's when Ben Kingsley get a script, first thing that he do, he starts from the beginning, and he read that script from the beginning, word for word. That's the way he learned his part, from the beginning to the end, and then take it through. I want to get into one more section, and then we're going to come back, talk a little about that. We're going to go to the community calendar, but we're going to do one more section, and then I want to do some monologues. Okay, let's hear David talking about the advice that he would give to young people.
Understand the connectivity of each of those characters based on August Wilson's writing and a good director who, you know, directed us toward that idea.
And then you had a powerful lead actor also who you worked with before.
Yeah, my good friend Charlie Robinson, great actor, you know, and I love working with him. I worked with him before, and I have a lot of admiration and respect for his talent. It was good working with him. We had some good scenes together.
Now, I think you've already answered this, but I'm going to throw it out again. What advice would you give young actors, especially African-Americans, trying to break into the business?
I want to say that a buddy of mine brought his son to me. My son was about 12 years old. My son wants to be an actor, you know. I said, what can you tell him to do? I said, first thing I told him, get a dictionary. Okay? Get a dictionary. He said, oh, yeah, get a dictionary. He said, well, he got the computer. I said, good, stay on that computer. Because as an actor, this is one thing. You get scripts, you get stories, and you get writers. You, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, you're an excellent writer, okay? And you know a lot of words. You know what I mean? Because you studied, right? And a lot of writers are brilliant writers. August Wilson, they know a lot of different words. We're not close to all those words, but we got to understand those words. So, and that's one thing. You cannot, as an actor, go in auditioning or doing a play and not understanding the meaning of those words. I mean, thoroughly, completely. That is your responsibility. You got to know that. So first thing I tell a young person, you know, starting off, of course, go to college, get as much education as you can, but get a dictionary, go to the computer, and understand that you got to know those words and break those words down. I've done plays with actors that can't pronounce the words, don't know the definition of the words and can't pronounce the words. That's a big, big, huge mistake.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Problem.
Because, I mean, these, especially writers in Hollywood, a lot of these writers in Hollywood and the Writers Guild and so forth, these are very brilliant, educated people. They come up with some words I never could imagine I'd ever heard. What the heck does that word mean? So I got to give respect to that and go to that computer, go to that dictionary, and get a good, clear understanding of the definition and pronunciation of that word. So I can say to young people trying to make it in the business, you know, understand that you must educate yourself. in all aspects of training that you can. You can do dance, you can do it. Everything you can learn to do is going to be good for your acting. Dancing, singing, mime, you know, juggling, everything that you can do. Learn to do a whole lot of things. Riding a motorcycle, riding a bicycle, roller skating, ice skating, swimming. Everything you can do to enhance that instrument, if your body is your instrument, you learn how to use that instrument in many kind of ways. Kung fu, karate, everything you can do. You know, poetry, all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? Don't be afraid to go venture out and learn things to enhance your instrument.
Okay, that's David McKnight. Let's take a break for our community calendar, and we're going to come back and open up our discussion and do some monologues.
This is the community calendar for the month of December. Thursday, December the 5th at 8 p.m. Art Improvisational Theater Company present Story File, a night of poetry, music, and much more. The location is the Art Share, 801 East 4th Place. This is in the Art District of Little Tokyo. For more information, you can call 323-330-5448. Saturday, December the 7th, this is a fundraising event to raise funds for Turning the Tide publication. And this was announced a little bit earlier, and I'll just reiterate, the location is the Westside Peace Center, 3916 South Sepulveda Boulevard, Culver City. KPFK is the media sponsor. And you can get more information, ticket, and advertising in the commemorative book at 323-636-7388. And this is so that the prisoners can continue to have free publication. Sunday, December the 8th at 3 p.m., Mitch Greenhill Group String Madness, all acoustic, all instrumental, will be performing at the Coffee Gallery. Location 2029 North Lake in Altadena. For more information, you can call 626-798-6236 or call it gallery.com. Saturday, December the 14th at from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., LAPD, which is Los Angeles Poverty Department, invite you to a holiday party. They'll have a live band featuring the LA Players. Fabulous food, community potluck. Also, they will be showing a video of micro history that was performed in several places, including Pershing Square. The location of the event is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. For more information, you can email Austin at lapovertydepartment.org, or his cell phone is 310-923-5819. Sunday, December the 15th at 3 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran present a stage reading of a play, If the Shoe Fits. And this is Voices from Solitary Confinement. The location of this event is the United University Church Fellowship Hall on the campus of USC, 817 East 34th Street, Los Angeles. And this is at the corner of Jefferson and Hoover. This is a free event. All are welcome. For more information, email dramastage1@yahoo.com or 213-908-6587. And we're asking you to save this date for the Veterans Community Theater Workshop that will begin on Tuesday, January the 14th. And this will be a 10-week session, and it will start on Tuesday, January the 14th. It's open to veterans and non-veterans, and it will be from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And it will include stage manager training, writing individual stage plays, and the registration fee is $25, which will go for supplies. And the location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, near the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. The Metro bus number 60 and 66 stops at the corner. And for more information and registration, call 213-908-6587. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, Send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And the call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Earlene Anthony. Now we're going to move into the monologue part of our show. The first one, I'm going to start off with Unique. We still got a little over 10 minutes to left. Let's start off with Unique, do a little short monologue, and then we'll move around. Unique.
Okay, this is a snippet of Aloha Say to Pretty Girls by Naomi Izuka. Why? I mean, why is it that all of a sudden everybody you know wants to get married and have babies? And everything that comes along with getting married and having babies. Is it some kind of instinct? Some kind of lizard brain instinct? Or is it someday, maybe, you're not getting any younger? And someday, maybe, you're going to get sick and old. And then maybe, you're going to die. Well, not maybe. You are. We're all going to die. That's the deal.
Wow. Hey, Anthony.
Okay, Melvin, I'm going to do Cage to Mind from your play, Nailheads. Before they caged the body, they caged the mind. They captured the soul by breaking the spirit with negative thoughts of nothing. Can you cage a thought or capture the wind? It's not the prison guards with guns, but inmates and convicts who refuse to become one. No positive light. The prisoner's cage, the locks of the mind, negativity and self-hate. A refusal to be a positive light, jealous of the next person because they want to live right. Like a person without sight, darkness into the middle of the night. The real prisons are scales of the mind, locks of negativity standing in place and marking time. Those who challenge every positive thought, ask them why. Is it to hold you back? Without a doubt. But it is the system that caged the body, but first they caged the mind. You hold the key to a positive mentality. Free yourself with positive thoughts. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't let your dreams become a nightmare. Negative thoughts are prisons of the mind. Standing in place and marking time like a darkness of a soul, a ball of confusion, the truth must be told. Can't you see? Only the truth can make you free. Positive thoughts are healing for the soul. Free the mind and the body will follow. Before they cage the body, they cage the mind. It's not the prison guards with the guns, but inmates and convicts who refuse to become one. Negative thoughts of nothing. Taking honey from a bee. Make you kill your brother because you failed to see. Look in the mirror and see yourself. But you hold the key to a positive mentality. That's the key. So unlock the door and come back to me. Merge with the totality of mentality. Take a vacation from madness, a trip from sadness to the light, hope, and gladness. Days without night. Can you cage a thought or capture the wind? It's all an illusion, but I'll say it again. Can you cage a thought or capture the wind?
Okay.
All right. This is from The First and the Last by John Galsworthy. It's true. It's true, I tell you. I've killed a man. I came to ask... What am I to do? Give myself up or what? It's like this, Keith. There's a girl, a Polish girl. Her father died over here when she was only 16 and left her all alone. There was a mongrel living in the same house who married her, pretended to. She's very pretty, Keith. She's very pretty, Keith. He left her with a baby coming. She lost it and nearly starved. Then another fellow took her on and lived with her for 2 years till that brute found her out again and made her go back to him. He used to beat her black and blue. He left her again when I met her. She was taking anybody then. I've never met a sweeter woman or a truer. That I swear. woman. She's only 20 now. When I went to her last night, that devil had found her out again. He came for me. A bullying, great, hulking brute. Look, I took his ugly throat. And when I let go, dead, Keith. We sat by it a long time. Then I carried it on my back down the street, around the corner, to an archway. And then went back to her. She was lonely and afraid. So was I, Keith. I didn't mean to kill him. Can you help me, old man? I may be no good, but I've never hurt a fly if I could help it. What should I do?
Okay, I'll try to do something from the play Ruin by Lynn Nottage.
Okay.
The character is Salima. Do you know what I was doing on that morning? I was in our garden picking the last of the sweet tomatoes. I put Beatrice down in the shade of a frangipani tree because my back was giving me some trouble. Forgiven? And then I felt a shadow cut across my back. And when I stood, there were four men standing over me smiling. Wicked schoolboy smiles. Yes, I said. And the tall soldier slammed the butt of his gun against my cheek. Just like that. I didn't even know I had fallen to the ground. Another soldier held me down with his boot. And it was all I could see as the others took me. My baby was crying. She was a good baby. Beatrice never cried. But she was crying, screaming. Shh, I said, shh. And just then, a soldier stomped on her head with his boot. And she was crying. Where was everybody? Where was everybody? I fought them, I did. But they still took me from my home. They took me through the bush, raiding these fucking demons. She is soup to be had before dinner. They tied me to a tree, and the men came whenever they wanted soup. I make fires. I cook food. I listen to their stupid songs. I carry bullets. I clean wounds. I wash blood from their clothing. And I lay there as they tore me to pieces until I was raw. 5 months, chained like a goat. These men fighting for our liberation. And still, when I close my eyes, I see such terrible things. Things that I cannot stand to have in my head. How can men be this way? How could I not hear them coming?
Right. Okay, we're winding down. We still got a couple minutes. Why don't we take about 15 seconds apiece and give me your contact information out to the audience for those that want to get in contact with you. Let's start with Unique.
You can contact me through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My Twitter is at UGenAstar. Instagram is hashtag unique and artist, and facebook.com/uniquejenkins, and or email me ujenkins21@yahoo.com.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes, you can contact me by email, tone.tonetaylor@gmail.com. That's tonetaylor12@gmail.com. Also, I'm on Facebook. You can look it up, Anthony Taylor, and on Instagram, Tone Taylor.
All right. I'm on Gmail, ramirez.henry91@gmail.com.
Okay. Facebook, Billy Jordan. Facebook, you would spell out Billy like Billie Holiday, Jordan, or you could email me or get me on Facebook with Press Copy, my Gmail address, presscopy@gmail.com. My phone number is 323-383-2687. And if you're interested in the L.A. City Theater Academy, you could call them at 323-953-4000. And the extension there is 2990.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, I would like to extend a special thanks to the members of the LACC Theater Academy. Billy Jordan, Henry Ramirez, Anthony Taylors, Unique Jenkins, and my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, and skidrow.la. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, and from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with a poem by Donald McCure trying to get these gangs to come together as one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are greater than that. You are greater than that. Listen to where it is really at. Your blood is polluting our soil. Your lust need not keep your blood at boil. Your blood is polluting our soil. Your lust need not keep your blood in blood. Call them 8 trains and rolling 60s. Yeah, call them all the O's. Call them 9 O's. Call them rolling 100s. Yeah, call them 8 train movers and 7 4 movers and 5 9 movers and 5 2 movers. Call them 11 dudes pool. Call them rolling 30 Harlem cramps. Call them East Coast, call them 696 dudes, East Coast. Call them Watts Crips, call them Grave Street. Yeah, call them Bloods, too, call them Mountain Hunters, Swamp. Call them BMGs, Denver Lands, Rolling 20s. We need you. Call them all NHBs and NHCs. We want you. We love you. Going to jail does not prove your bravery. Jail is just 21st century slavery.
That's all it is. Yes, exactly. That's all it is.
Going to jail does not prove your bravery. Be what's for centuries been trapped inside of you. Be governor, captain, neighborhood star. But you must learn to love peace and hate war.
That's right. That's right.
This God inside of you. He's calling you to calling all Crips, calling all Bloods, calling all Crips. We need you, we want you, we love you. Calling all Crips.